You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Dance Off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hey there, everybody. It's a Friday night. Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. Martin Bruda here with...
I am Sam Tweedle.
Chris Gilpin.
Not with us today is Dan Collins. He's working at a new job, so hopefully he won't miss too many Fridays.
Yeah, no, he's working. Sounds like he's been working real hard. He says he's only seen his kids for 20 minutes this week.
There you go.
Jeez. Yeah, these are weird.
You're wearing headphones.
I am. This is it's such a different experience.
There you go.
You know, you guys can't see, the listeners can't see it on the side, but I never wear headphones, which Marty's always busting my balls about. So,
well, it just means you can't hear when the microphone's not on. You can't hear when the...
You know, this is awesome.
There's other technical issues.
This is a whole new experience.
So anyways, what a week.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. My goodness. What a week in comic books today.
Crazy week.
I was going to start with a local story, but I think we got to hit the nail on the head here. Brian Michael Bendis.
BMB.
Bendis. BMB. Oh, my God. What a game changer this is.
BMB.
Who would have ever saw that coming?
It's actually kind of funny because I was just reading a book called Slugfest, and it talks all about the rivalry between DC and Marvel over the years and how, you know, this creator got poached and this creator moved over, and it was like the Jack Kirby coming to DC from Marvel, Jim Shooter moving over, and all these other creators. Now, all of a sudden, boom, here's Brian Michael Bendis.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was basically, the way I thought is this could be the biggest grab that, this to me is like when Kirby went to DC.
Well, Bendis, 18 years at Marvel, creator of, if I'm not mistaken, Jessica Jones.
Yep.
Miles Morales, Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Who else? There were some other characters that he created.
And others.
And, you know, responsible for all these big, massive storylines. Mm-hmm. Ultimate Spider-Man, you know, him and Mark Bagley, 117 or 111 issues in a row of that comic.
For better or for worse, I mean, he sort of shaped the Marvel Universe into what we know it today, not just with the books, but also with the cinema.
Now that I can agree with it. He has shaped Marvel to what it is today.
Okay, so as regular listeners know, Chris Gilpin, his opinions on Bendis is very much like my opinions on the Walking Dead TV show.
Yeah. Well, one thing about Bendis is he liked to kind of tip things on their edge. Mm-hmm. Let's not do the status quo. Let's do something interesting. Let's do something intriguing and stuff. But like everyone's like, oh, DC poach. I don't think so. I think he left.
Do you? Why is that?
Well, if you take a look at his relationship with the current Marvel editors and stuff like this, he had nothing to do with the whole Secret Empire, right? You know, and the limited series before that, he had nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
they kind of cut him out of a whole bunch of creator workshops and stuff like this. And I think they were just, there was a little bit of fatigue there from both sides of the story.
Maybe.
Bendis is a little tired of working for Marvel, and Marvel's a little tired of working with Bendis.
Now, I gotta admit, the only real Bendis stuff that I've read was his run on Daredevil.
Now, everybody, like, that's the other thing I was saying is, like, everybody's all like, oh, DC. Bendis came. Mm-hmm. Like, he signed a contract. It's not like somebody grabbed him by the arm and twisted it behind his back and said, oh, no, you have to work for DC now.
I am so excited about what he might do. And what I would like, now, okay, I never touched his Avengers stuff. but I'm aware of how successful and how highly regarded it is. And also, as I said, how it sort of shaped the Marvel, movie universe, including the Avengers films.
Well, a lot of the universe is based on the Ultimates, right?
That's right. Now, is it possible? Is it possible that he could be the man who will actually fix Justice League into being a readable book? Into actually being like a readable, commodity?
If I'm DC, that's a book I'm giving him.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm DC, I'm like, here's Justice League, fix it.
Because Justice League of America is one of the most important DC franchises, but it has been, it's almost like DC doesn't know what to do with it. At one point, it used to be DC didn't know what to do with Superman.
Yeah.
Now they don't know what to do with Justice League, because whatever you do with these characters, it affects the rest of the universe.
Yeah.
Right? And I've traditionally, Justice League of America has always, traditionally, it's been my favorite comic of all time. It was the book that really got me into comics as a kid. And I've hated it for a couple of decades now. I have not liked it. I think the last time I really liked it was maybe, I mean, pockets of time. But it really is a book DC does not know what to do with. And maybe Bendis is the guy that can, turn it around. Just like he understands, okay, Chris, don't punch me. I really feel this. At one point, I'm going to say something. You're just gonna reach over and just punch me in the face for saying something you don't agree with on this. But I'm just going to say
no, not
because
at all.
Because me and you are the yin and the yang on Bendis.
Yeah,
I'm crazy about him. Yeah. You don't so much like him. We are the Democrats and the Republicans of Bendis.
Right.
You know, but I do know. I think he has a. I don't know if what I'm about to say is true or not. I believe that he has a good understanding of comic mythos. And by saying that, he understands these Marvel characters. I'd like to assume he understands the DC ones just as well. Maybe not to the extent as something like somebody like Geoff Johns does, but... I don't know. I'm real curious to see what he's going to do.
So you guys haven't heard the project that he's working on? You didn't hear about that?
No, they haven't specified anything yet.
I found one, yeah.
What?
Yeah. He's going to do a story where the younger Teen Titans are going to come to the present.
Oh, my God.
To talk with the current Teen Titans. And then a Teen Titans from the future are going to come back and tell them that they need to go back to the past.
No, did he write that storyline?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, because I read that too. I still read that stuff. I really like that.
He's responsible for the young X-Men coming.
Oh, man, that was so great.
And then the younger Teen Titans, they're just going to stay and they're going to get a new book.
Yeah, I'm so...
In the present.
That's some of the only X-Men stuff I read.
I was going to make a Iceman comment about Roy Harper, but I...
Okay.
Hey, I had to write that one down just to get it right.
Did you? All right. Well,
from
good
the past
for you. That
to the
that
present to the future.
You know
to
what?
The
you
past.
Know what? You know what? All right. Fist bump for the comedy. Okay. There you go. All right. We're all friends again.
Like the guy's been writing for 18 years,
mm-hmm. yeah.
So he obviously is a good writer.
Oh yeah.
So whether you like his storyline or what he did with the character, I mean, he's successful for 18 years at Marvel. I mean, he did one story for DC, I think, in a Batman anthology. Anyways, apparently that comic's worth $40 now.
But, really?
Yeah.
Wow. What was it, like a Penguin story or something?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up because I don't recall it at all. But, you know, it's one of those, submission pieces, right?
Signal Man.
I mean, like, what do you do?
Man.
Superman's kicking butt.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the team on Superman and Action are
fantastic.
Great. The team on Batman and Detective are great.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman's firing on all cylinders. So you don't give him one of the Trinity. So what do you do?
Yeah.
So you give him Trinity.
The question for me is why, but
why what?
Why? I don't know. I guess it's because I'm so negative on him. But anyways,
why is he coming over?
Yeah, like why?
Well,
would DC
I'm sure
after him,
he doesn't want to be with Marvel.
DC
anymore.
Didn't go after him. There's no way. I guarantee you that there's at some point in time somebody was like, he's a little bit tired and he phoned DC and said, hey,
you know what?
Contract's up.
Can we try to do a little bit of improv here? All right. I'm going to play the role of stick with me here. I'm gonna play the role of Brian Michael Bendis. Marty, you play.
Can be Neil Adams.
No, well, do you want to be Neil Adams?
That Martin guy's a real Pinhead.
I'm gonna get you to be Dan Didio.
Okay.
Okay. So we're gonna do a little bit of phone inference. So bring.
Hello, I created Reboot.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis. You may know me from such books as Avengers and Daredevil and X-Men. I'd like to come and work at DC because I no longer want to be at Marvel.
Let me get this straight. I get a writer who is good and talented, and I get to turn around and say, screw you, Marvel. Okay.
That's right. Can I have any book I want?
No.
Can I do Swing with Scooter?
No.
I bet you I
can. If you do Swing with Scooter, I owe that Sam Tweedle guy in Canada a case of ketchup-flavored potato chips.
All right. End scene.
Yeah. No, but, it's got to be Justice League. Mm-hmm. Of any mm-hmm. of the current titles, yeah. it's got to be Justice League that they give them. Because it's the one yeah. that's... The problem with Justice League is it's always trying to get the feel of an epic event book.
Yeah.
Without actually having the ability to pull that off. So it's like, here's this earth-shattering, ginormous, huge threat to the entire universe, and the characters fight. And then here's this another new, huge, massive threat, and oh, the characters doubt themselves. But then they come together, and they fight. You know, and that's repeated ad nauseum, ad nauseum. Like, isn't some of our more favorite 1970s Justice League ones are like, you know, elongated man on monitor duty and how bored he is.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, like just some of the silly stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. I remember there was this one issue where Ray Palmer brought Hawkman, Black Canary, and Green Arrow to like Hanukkah.
Exactly.
and the Atom's not even Jewish. He knew somebody who was Jewish. Yeah. He's like, hey, I have a Jewish friend. Do you want to do Hanukkah? And we're like, well,
sure.
Amazo hasn't attacked us tonight. Why not?
Why not?
Let's go light some candles and play dreidel.
Like, I've been reading the Justice League book since Rebirth. Well, I've been reading it longer than that. But, mm-hmm. like, we're just talking about the current storylines. I'd be really hard-pressed to name the bad guy from any of the storylines so far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, wasn't it Bendis who, with the Avengers, as I said, I didn't read the Avengers, but he sort of brought back Jessica Drew's Spider-Woman.
Well, and he did New Avengers.
And then Luke Cage.
So when Avengers died, mm-hmm. and they brought back New Avengers, and it was like Spider-Man, Wolverine, Luke Cage,
yeah.
Like you said, Spider-Woman, who else was in there? Sentry.
Okay. Well, that was a big deal, bringing like Spider-Man. I think that's why it didn't. By Avengers, actually, is because I thought Spider-Man, Wolverine, Avengers was really stupid. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to touch it.
New Avengers was like the only Avengers book that I ever got excited about and read.
But the thing was, is it ended up being a huge hit,
yeah.
like massive. And I do regret not buying it. But I've never been much of an Avengers fan. Yeah. I don't. If you go into my comic collection, there's very few Avengers books.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I'm a Justice League guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Also, you made a good point online, Marty, that, you know, maybe he's taken over the JSA or the Legion of Superheroes title.
Well,
he'd be great on Legion.
There's got to be a reason why those books haven't come out yet. We've been promised a JSA book. We've been promised a Legion book. Is it because Geoff Johns wanted to spearhead that? He's just been too busy with movies, and that's why it hasn't happened yet? Like, what's the reason why we're a year into Rebirth and we haven't gotten those books yet?
Mm-hmm.
But we've gotten things like Dead Man and Rag Man and, you know, all these other books.
Hey, man, don't Rag Man on Dead Man.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that later. So, like, there's got to be a reason. So is it possible that top creators are just too busy doing other things and they just haven't found the right guy for it, and all of a sudden Bendis walks in the door and, like, it's here you go. Do it. But I'm sure that Bendis came over with a wish list of what he mm-hmm, wants sure. to do.
And please, if you, be Swing with Scooter.
And if you take a look at his Marvel work, right, while he was doing something, you know, big like X-Men, he was also doing something small with a different title. So maybe he's going to go after, like, okay, I'll do your Justice League, but I really want to do a Brother Power the Geek. Or what was his name?
Brother Power the Geek.
Yeah, Brother Power the Geek. Or I really, really want to do an Elongated Man series.
That'd be Bendis. You know what I mean? Elongated Man, it would be awesome.
So he'll do the He'll do the big marketable book, but then he'll do something smaller.
I think it'd be interesting too when we're talking again when we're talking about the Avengers, how he brought in characters like Luke Cage and Sentry and Spider-Woman, who were really like nowhere characters that he had a love for. Who could be the oddball characters he'd bring to Justice League? Could it be like I don't know.
Well, as long as the movie's happening, okay. I don't see them changing the lineup.
All right.
So that's why I'm thinking JSA, mm-hmm. right? Because as long as the movie's going on, it's going to be Flash, Cyborg. Cyborg, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in it no matter what.
Okay.
You know, maybe Superman. Mm-hmm. But until that's over, mm-hmm. but the movie's next week, so maybe it's over, right?
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
So I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I thought that was a real surprise.
Now, the other interesting thing that I read is he's got a bunch of creator-owned work mm-hmm. with Marvel's Icon imprint. And I to be honest with you, I know so little about Icon, but wasn't Mark Miller's stuff published under the Icon label until he went on his own? Yeah. So I guess there is like a creator-owned department of Marvel, but they just never hyped it enough. It was always like a Mark Miller book or a Bendis book. Yeah. So he's got a few titles there. Marvel pulled them all out of Comixology, mm-hmm. pulled them all out of Marvel Unlimited.
Wow.
So now, did Marvel pull them, or is part of the contract that Bendis takes them with him? Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. It's just like when Dynamite started doing Red Sonja and stuff, they could do the Red Sonja reprints from Marvel, and it said Dynamite Comics Group across top. It didn't say Marvel Comics Group, even though those were originally Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what happens to those books? Does he take it into an Image? Does it go to Dynamite? Or, my favorite theory, what if DC revamps Vertigo mm-hmm. and makes Vertigo more Icon-like, more Image-like, and more creator-owned, and this is a whole new imprint and revitalize the Vertigo name?
Mm, that'd be interesting. They've tried to reboot Vertigo a few times over the year, and it fails every time.
The problem is that they're always the same ownership. It's creator participation, not creator ownership.
Gotcha.
So everything that you create for Vertigo is owned by DC, mm-hmm. owned by Warner, but you get a bigger percentage of the money and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what if they actually said, okay, obviously this isn't working. I can't remember what titles they are, but he's bringing like six titles with him. So does DC benefit from that, or do they go to Image or like I said, Dynamite or Boom?
See, it's I get to be the naysayer, but anyways, New Avengers was one of the things where I started to waver with Marvel because you've got Wolverine and Spider-Man, both like Wolverine's in like 3 X-Men books and 2 of his own titles, and now he's an Avenger. Like 6 titles a month, and Spider-Man's like, oh, come on, guys.
That's because they cloned him.
Yeah.
They just haven't told you yet.
But that's because you're a Marvel guy, and you followed Avengers. That was one of your books. Like, if I was, me and Sam are Justice League guys, if somebody all of a sudden said, well, you got to put X character and X and B character in Justice League, and we're like, what?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Lobo needs to be in Justice League, even though he is.
Yeah, which sucks.
I was more X-Men. Like, that's...
Yeah.
I didn't read a lot of Avengers. Just
mm-hmm. well, it's like
to
it's
me,
like
it was just like,
you know, I've got Harley Quinn overload. I got Deadpool overload. Like they're in everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Batman too. Like how many Batman books do we need?
In fact, when it comes to Justice League, I've always enjoyed it more when the Trinity's not in it.
Yeah, when it's a little bit more obscure, the obscure mm-hmm. characters. Like mm-hmm. my absolute greatest ever run of comics, as far as personal enjoyment goes, was the Bwahaha Justice League.
Me too. Loved it. Never missed an issue.
And it was like, I remember grade 10 drafting class, I'm reading an issue, and I'm literally laughing my guts out, and the teacher comes over to find out why I'm laughing my face off. Now, fortunately, I had my bolt already drawn, and my nut was already drawn, because I was a pretty quick draftsman, and I was reading the comic book, and he like came over to give me poop for not doing my work, but the work was done, so... He just kind of like, calm down, stop making jokes. But
it's a game changer, man. It's mind blowing, and it's an exciting thing. I think it's interesting that this is so big. First of all, when I first saw the headline, I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
Right. And then I read it, I was like, no. And then I'm thinking, no, it's still a joke. It's just rumor. It's just a gossip. But then when a paper like the New York Times reports it,
yeah,
And Newsweek puts it up on their website.
Well, he's like, one of those creators that were on like on late night TV shows.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Talking about Marvel and stuff. He's a big profile guy.
That's big. That's just big.
And it's just like with Rebirth firing on mostly all their cylinders, it's not like he's really needed.
Yeah, that's why the why question popped into my head, right? Like, why now? And
I'm positive it's just one of those things where he doesn't see the current path that Marvel's on as his path, and he wants to try something new, and this is the distinguished competition who's willing to pay him the same page rates. Because face it, everybody else, like Boom and stuff like this, they don't pay the same that Marvel and DC do. No. So he can go in there, get a nice fat paycheck with health benefits and everything, and play with a whole brand new stable of characters. Why not?
Maybe he's seen something coming down at Marvel he didn't like and jumped ship.
I'm sure he has.
I think we all have.
The House of Mouse.
I'm sure he has.
Is the Marvel universe currently what the New 52 was over at, I don't know.
Well, I mean, the other thing is with, like, we know a lot of creators, right, that do creator-owned work, like Jim Zub and stuff like this, and they'll tell you that they're making more money on their creator-owned image books that don't sell anything than their Marvel work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, who would turn down an assignment to write the Avengers?
Right.
I mean, it's the Avengers, for Pete's sake. So even though it's a lesser of a paycheck, it's still a dream come true, so why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
So same thing with Bendis. I mean, he doesn't need to. Yeah. He's just looking to play in somebody else's sandbox for a while. He likes creating.
Yeah.
It just that's the part that gets me is where do you put him? Because right now, some of the key books are doing fantastic.
Yeah. Plus the previews are, what, 3 months in advance?
Yeah.
So
it'll be a while.
It'll take a while for him to get in.
Like I would be next summer, maybe.
Like I saw an article there that said that he was going to be given the opportunity to, say goodbye to his characters in the books that he's doing. So there'll be a transition.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to finish some stuff off. But like, I don't think I'm reading any of his current Marvel.
I'm not.
So
nope.
I'm not either.
I'm only buying something like 4 Marvel books right now.
Yeah.
So.
What else did you... You had another topic.
Oh, yes. So, this one, it was another one that... I still think the verdict's out on this. But, actress Allison Mack, the cutie who played Chloe Sullivan on Smallville. Now, you guys can't see this. Maybe someone can take a photo, but... I just brought in an autographed 8x10 of Allison Mack that I just happened to own. Because I met her at in Toronto a few years ago. And I think she's... absolute sweetheart. I really thought she was nice. Well, apparently, according to a statement by a gentleman who is suing the company NXINM, I believe, that...
it's a self-help weight loss organization.
Yeah, it's a self-help pyramid scheme type thing created by some guy named Keith Ranier, who's currently under... currently under investigation for it being a sex cult. According to this unnamed former member who is suing the company, Allison Mack is like the second in command of this.
She's like some mistress of the night or something like.
Well, according to her, she is in love with Keith Ranier, and she recruits anywhere from 25 to 30 women as sex slaves to this man because she's been brainwashed and brought into this cult. Okay, so anyway.
She hasn't been brainwashed. She's doing the brainwashing.
Oh, she's doing the brainwashing? Yeah,
she's second in command of this cult.
Okay.
So what she does is she has 25 subservient members that have to send her...
nude photos.
Nude, embarrassing photos every month, every week. That she can hold as collateral. They have to do strange and unusual sexual acts.
Now, is it her that does that, or is it him that...
She has a stable of 25 people, and he has some people.
I thought she recruited these people.
Yes, she recruited those guys.
Okay.
And because she recruited them, they're tattooed with her initials.
And his initials.
And his initials.
Which is branded in the genital regions. I mean, the whole thing is just bizarre.
Somebody save me.
It is just bizarre. It is the most craziest, bizarre story. And I've been reading it because I've always liked her. Like, I just thought she was adorable on the show. And then, as I said, I had that brief encounter you have at an autograph line where you say hi and they go hi and I'm like, hey, you having fun in Toronto? She goes, oh, that's great. What do I sign? You know, I just thought she was adorable. But
she has a dark side.
Obviously. Well, you know, though, I've been doing as much reading as I can on this thing. And, well, not obviously not good enough, but...
You haven't joined yet, have you?
No, I have not joined.
Everybody is innocent until proven guilty.
Oh, please, don't even start.
That's my thing, though. Is
half of Hollywood is guilty of something now.
Well, yeah, that's because...
Yeah, but half of them are admitting to it.
That's the thing, right? Now, the thing about Allison Mack is the fact that I can't... It just seems to be the testimony of one guy. One guy saying this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, I'm one guy that people have said a lot of stuff about.
Yeah, but they've got some sort of an encrypted Dropbox that she's the administrator of, and they have screenshots of this Dropbox and names within folders in this Dropbox where they're supposed to submit this collateral every week and stuff. They got photographs. They got evidence.
I'm not saying it's not true, but I'm saying it's damn weird. Okay? That is what I'm saying. And I think there's going to be a big water scene. But
isn't
really,
that the definition of a cult? Damn weird.
Yeah. I think no matter what happens, not that she was really working too much these days anyway, but I don't see her pulling her career out of this one. You know, I think...
What career?
Well, there's a certain industry she might be able to get into, but...
Anyways, again, and this was another story. I think I first saw this this on Gail Simone's page, actually, a Facebook page, where she was like, please say this is not real, and... I'm like, what? Allison Mack, I like her.
I'm going to watch Smallville again.
And I'm just thinking to myself, this can't be real. This can't be real. But I don't know. I just think this is a breaking story that's going to be really interesting to keep watching in the weeks to come. And I'm all really, really glad, actually.
That's a great picture.
It is a great. What does it say? I love this. It says...
Sam, do you own a branding iron?
No, it says something of joy. Lots of joy. Thanks. Live the joy. I don't know. There's Sam, joy, some other words. What do we think that says?
Oh my God, you're blind sometimes.
I know.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
Trixie,
do you own any
of
leather?
Your? Okay, joy. Yeah, no idea.
There's a word, joy. Joy's there.
Joy's there. I don't know what the rest.
I don't
says.
Know. Anyways, I'm
I think
so...
it says, look at my navel, look at my navel.
Yes. Anyways, you know what, though? This is a really cool little collectible I have now, though. You know what I mean? This could
put
be...
it on eBay.
It's not my most valuable autograph.
Except nobody will buy it unless their name is Sam.
That's yeah, right. I know. Yeah, exactly. So I think that so far has been what I... Between Bendis and this, I mean, it's just wacky. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, stay tuned. Hey, you know, if they ever did like a film version of The Discipline, yeah, maybe she could get the lead part.
Maybe.
It wouldn't be too different than what she's into now, apparently.
I'm so. Getting of joy. Something of Sam. Something of joy. Allison Mack.
Buckets of joy?
No,
loads of joy.
Bucket. Loads?
Loads all over
Life
your
of joy.
Loads all over your face, joy.
Whoa! Oh, hey. Whoa!
Speaking of industries.
All right. Anyways. Oh. Okay. So next.
So new X-Men. Title
yes, I saw
about.
That.
Like, I don't know. Marvel just does not learn. I don't know. X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue, they're good. You don't need an X-Men Red, an X-Men Purple, X-Men
Why not?
Orange.
I don't know. You know what? I might. Here's the thing,
With
though.
A character who's dead, by the way.
Here's the thing. So I'm not. I don't read too much X-Men, right? But I've been reading the Jean Grey book because I like Jean Grey, and also I am guilty of any time I think they're bringing back Jean Grey, I buy it. I have so much dumb crap where it looks like they're bringing Jean Grey back, but they don't.
Oh
in
my gosh!
Collection.
Tell me you've got that 2-issue anime '90s weird. I've
really
been looking
long
for
legs.
That.
Like, there's a good chance I do.
Oh my gosh, I need that.
You know what I mean?
I need to look it up. It's
if it looks like they're bringing Jean Grey back, I buy it. And I've been disappointed and let down so many times. So I've been buying the Jean Grey book. And then they had the Return of Jean Grey. I was like, oh my God, I got to buy it. So I ordered it, not realizing it was a weekly.
Oh, the Phoenix Resurrection.
Yeah. But anyways, here's the thing. When I was figuring out my comic of things for January, like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to drop this. But then I was like, no, No, this is really the time. This is the time they're going to bring back Jean Grey. They're really doing it this time, guys. So I kept it. Here's the thing, Chris. You posted X-Men Red today online. Mm-hmm. I had not heard of this. It really wasn't much of a story. It didn't say much.
Jean Grey.
Well, they've got some more information. Okay. There's a second article
but
here.
But here's the thing. You know what, Chris? I'm probably going to buy it.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't buy X-Men Blue. I don't buy X-Men Gold. It's Jean Grey. I'm probably going to buy it.
So it says here that it's going to be Jean Grey, new uniforms.
Ooh. Oh.
New team headquarters.
Ooh.
And exciting new characters.
Oh, okay. Maybe I won't buy it.
So it does say that there's going to be some fan favorites and some new characters.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. You know, like, I mean, I don't know what Marvel, what Marvel X-Men are currently in Golden Blue. I don't know. Tell me.
Yeah, but
Blue is just the team of kids from the
young kids. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
I'd like that one.
Gold has a great team. Mm-hmm. I think it's like classic Uncanny X-Men.
Okay. And
Kitty Pryde, Colossus.
Well, no, it's not classic Uncanny X-Men. It's 90s Uncanny X-Men because it's not 80s Uncanny X-Men.
Is That's Dazzler classic. In one of them?
It was made in general.
Is Dazzler in
no, one? No, isn't Dazzler like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Longshot's in Cable, though.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, Cable.
So is Shatterstar.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens, but
and,
you know what?
And Shatterstar doesn't say, hey, Dad.
Yeah, which is weird, but anyways.
Shatterstar is Longshot's father?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I never knew too much about Longshot. Anyways.
So, yeah, it's like we've got X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue, Astonishing X-Men, which I always thought was a mini. Because they have a different artist on every issue. So I always thought Astonishing was a mini. And Weapon X. So that's the team X-Men books. Right. And then, of course, we got Iceman, Old Man Logan, Jean Grey. They announced another one. What did they announce last month? Some new title coming out.
Assuming Wolverine's going to get his own title back.
You know, Wolverine's
okay.
back.
No. Okay, so last time I read X-Men, it was the Bendis stuff, actually, come to think of it. There was, like, you know, Cyclops and Magic and Emma Frost had all those new kids and they were training them. That was really good.
Yeah, but that Cyclops dead.
So that Cyclops is dead. He's still dead?
As far still as I know. For now.
For now.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's going to become, you know what book he's going to be coming back in?
Resurrection?
No.
X-Men Red.
X-Men Red.
That's what I mean.
That's right. They're going to go bring him back. Jean Grey is like, what do you mean? I'm alive. Cyclops is dead. Whoa, what bizarre world's this I'm in?
I just want to know, does it come out twice a month? Or is it going to be a monthly? Because Gold and Blue are twice a month.
Yeah.
Officially twice a month. Okay. Marvel does that sneaky thing where they ship, so they sell 20 to 18 issues a year of a title and they don't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you think it's monthly. But this is officially twice a month for Gold and Blue. So do those get cut down to monthly and Red's going to be monthly, so three monthly titles, or are we going to have six comic books every month?
So help me out here. We had the books where the young met the old, Legacy.
Yeah.
And they never explained in the books how the young met the old.
No, it was a time travel fabric of space wacky thing.
Apparently it was part of Secret Empire, and it was revealed who was doing that.
I didn't read Secret Empire. So
yeah, I only read the Jean Grey Phoenix one,
too,
and I just thought it was really stupid, so I didn't buy any of the others.
Yeah,
like because I was thinking about buying the Hawkeye one and the Miss Marvel one maybe, but
to me, I just
thought it was awful.
To me, those Legacy books were just a really rushed. Here, create a story quick. Here's the very simple mechanism to make them meet up. You don't even have to talk about it.
Put Jean Grey in a tiny bikini.
Put your two characters in there and make it work.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous.
So we'll see how it goes. But I'm reading X-Men. Well, I'm not reading X-Men Gold. I'm buying X-Men Gold.
Mm-hmm.
But they've had two crossovers in it so far, and I'm just like, pick up the book. I try to read it, and I can't because I didn't read the other one. So it's like, okay, like no word of a lie. The last three issues of X-Men Gold, straight in the bag. Tape,
but you know what?
Into the box.
That's what I've been.
Didn't
doing.
Even read them.
But that's what I've been doing with my DC Metal books.
Well, see, I'm reading Metal.
No, I'm there. I don't know what's going on. It's right in the bag. Don't read them. And like then when getting... I read the next issue, I don't. It doesn't change anything.
Like I'm not getting the crossovers and stuff.
Okay,
just the main metal book, so I'm kind of following it along. Yeah. But like Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps this month was a metal crossover. I got two pages into it, and I'm like, I'm lost. Into the bag. Okay. Zip. Yeah. Away it goes.
You know what? Why? You know, all this crossover stuff. I mean, enough is enough, guys. Like, forever. Yeah. Forever. We don't like them anymore. It was, I think.
It was fun when it was just the annuals over the summer.
That's right.
That's how it all started.
Wasn't that back in the
Atlantis
80s?
Attacks, Mutant Massacre. What was the other ones?
What was Invasion?
Invasion. Yep.
Millennium.
Millennium. But that's what it was, right? Like that's how it started.
Yeah.
Was just in crossing over in the annuals. I mean, the old Justice League, Justice Society crossovers. Those were over the two summer issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that was fun. But now it's like one event leads into another event, leads into another event, and it just kills the momentum on the title you're trying to read.
Meanwhile, what's the countdown? The Doomsday Clock? What's that?
Yeah, but Doomsday Clock is going to be its own 12-issue series.
Is it? Okay.
Right?
It's not going to be a game changer?
Well, it's supposed to be.
We'll see.
Like, tell me there's... Like, I don't mind an event book. If you're going to do Secret Empire, do your 6, 9, 8, 10 issues of Secret Empire. If you're going to do Mojo World, do your 8, 6 issue Mojo World. But just don't make me buy new Teen Titans. Don't make me buy Titans, Teen Titans, and all these other books that I'm not buying to get the storyline.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree yeah. completely. You know what, where that really kind of started, though, was Crisis on Infinite Earths. Because remember, they did the Crisis, but then they had all the, like, every book would be a Crisis tie-in.
Again,
yeah.
In the early days, it was a bit different because it was supposed to be an honest-to-God game-changing event, and Crisis was.
Yes, it was.
But now it's happening so frequently that it's like... Yeah. It will never be the same until next month when we do another one that will change the universe forever.
And you know, though, I remember reading... Okay, so when I was a kid, I didn't read Crisis on Infinite Earths when it happened. I couldn't find it. I just couldn't find an issue of it at Becker's, you know? But I remember I'd be reading my comics and there'd be a Crisis tie-in. But somehow, even though I wasn't reading Crisis on Infinite Earths, I kind of got what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, because it didn't deviate too much, or somehow they made those books interesting or fun or something.
I think it was just because it was novel. It was something new, neat and new. It was like, oh my gosh, all the characters are like involved in this one event. This is really neat. Like Secret Marvel Secret Wars, right? The first one. I mean, it was a dumb story, but it was fun. Like everybody, it sold like gangbusters.
I'm not making a joke here. You're gonna think that I'm being a smartass, but I'm not. But I always thought the Beyonder looked like Patrick Duffy. He did. If they had done a Secret Wars movie, the Beyonder should have been played by Patrick Duffy. He looked exactly like him. Look, pop.
Kill me now.
But it's true. Pop up a
picture. No, I'm not popping.
I'm going to make an icon of it, of Patrick Duffy.
I have a lot of sketchy things in my Google search. The Beyonder's not one of them.
Okay, so.
And it's not going to be.
I'm going to put it together, a picture of Patrick Duffy and the Beyonder side by side.
Nope.
It's separated at birth, man. Separated at birth.
Nope.
Yeah. True. And I'm not being, I know you think I'm, every time I bring Patrick Duffy, you think I'm bringing a wise guy, but no, I'm totally serious on that one.
One crossover, I don't know why I keep thinking about it, was Acts of Vengeance.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
Where the evil guys switched up the good guys to try and throw them off to defeat them, so you switched villains. I've always wanted to go back and buy that, but I think you can buy it in a big trade, right? There's a great big trade you can buy it.
So you never read that?
Oh, I read it, yeah. But when I sold my collection, I sold it all, right?
Hey,
that wasn't annuals, though. That was in the main issues. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I just realized I actually have Bendis's complete run on X-Men if you want to buy that.
No,
I really do have it. I just didn't realize I did it. I have both X.
I don't want it.
Okay. Because I'm thinking of purging my collection. That could be a collection that could go.
Yeah, I don't think Chris is too interested.
Actually, I have most of them, some of them, because the Arthur Adams did the covers. And stuff.
Oh, there you go. So that leads into something too, because I was thinking about Arthur Adams earlier today. A little bit of comic. Me and Marty, and we've talked about this, is in the time I was off, because I haven't been here for a few weeks. I don't know if you guys talked about this. Did you talk about Dead Man on one of the last shows?
No, I think we did it online.
All right. So Dead Man. There's this new Dead Man book. DC is doing Dead Man by Neil Adams.
Yes.
And it...
sucks.
No relation to Arthur Adams.
It sucks.
Marty hates it. I'm not fussy on it, but I'm going to keep buying it for a few more months.
See, this is our problem, right? Mm-hmm. They came out with Man-Thing, and we got all nostalgic, and, this is going to be great. And it was horrible.
Horrible.
What else did they do? They did a Hawkman mini.
I didn't buy it.
Exactly. And then they did... I want to say Adam Strange, but that's completely wrong.
They did, but I didn't buy that either.
Exactly. And then Mr. Miracle, which
is awesome.
Which just, I mean, that's just another story.
We're talking like comic orgasm every issue.
Like, no word of a lie. I read a review. Somebody's like, this is going to be the gem graphic novel that people hand out to people who want to get interest in comics.
So good.
So good.
So good.
But then there was Ragman.
I got to reread it. I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. I got to sit down when I'm in the right headspace and reread it before issue two comes out.
So now here comes Dead Man.
Now, Dead Man is one of my favorite DC characters. And Neil Adams' original run of Dead Man is one of my favorite runs in comics. And here's the thing, though. In the original run of Dead Man, Neil Adams, he didn't write the first couple of issues. I don't remember who did that. I do know, and I'm not kidding. It was the same person who created Swing of Scooter wrote the first few issues of Dead Man. Yeah. I do know that because they used to actually advertise Swing of Scooter and Dead Man in the same ads, which is so weird. But anyways, the writer left and Neil Adams wrote the end of the series, which was quite good. In this, the writing, I think the worst part, me and Marty disagree with it, I think the worst part of this book's writing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
No doubt about it. The writing is the worst. The writing is 1970s DC house style. That boring, weird, stupid, dumb, like, 8-year-old targeted at 12-year-old kid writing.
My God. Batman, he starts talking, and he just takes it right to 11. His temper goes right to 11.
Yeah, that was just like in Batman Odyssey, where he was like... normal, and then he's like yelling at people. Normal, yeah, and then yelling at people.
Like, and that's why I think I only have a few issues of Odyssey and I quit reading it. Because, I got it. I got the problem here. Now, I'm not saying that artists can't write and writers can't draw. Because we do know there's great guys like Terry Moore. We know there's David LaPam. We know John Byrne, Byron. You know, they've all been able to do this stuff. But here's my thing. Neil Adams... Why are they letting him write books? He shouldn't be... Joe Kubert didn't write a book. Gil Kane never wrote any books. But that's the thing. I was thinking, has Arthur Adams ever written a book?
Nothing.
No, because Art...
He's way too busy drawing.
But I'm just saying, Neil Adams needs to do what he does best, and that is draw the book.
Yeah,
and,
but in Neil Adams' eyes, he's been writing Skater Boy and Megalith. Look, and
you know, Neil Adams is my favorite comic book artist.
Not mine anymore.
He was, but his stuff, classic in the days of the days. He's the best of the best. He was. I like the art on Dead Man. I think this is what me and Marty disagree with. I actually like the art. It's a little sketchy. It's a little unfinished, but I think it's pretty cool.
Okay, but apparently it's not unfinished.
Oh.
It's a stylish choice. Anyways, to make a long story short, somebody on... Yeah, too late. Says, I made a comment on Bleeding Cool about what it looked like. It looked like the art is just straight pencils, sketches, because John Byrne has admitted he does this. He's like, I hand in finished pencils that are less detailed than my rough sketches were when I did Alpha Flight.
Wow.
Right? Because these guys are so used to drawing, or they're do convention sketches all the time, and they don't really do books anymore, or it's a choice on their part. Like John Romita Jr. changed his art style completely, you know? Like, so I get that. So I said it looked like raw pencils that somebody scanned into Photoshop and just cranked the contrast and called it inked. But I didn't say it looked like. I said, well, all Neil Adams did was. Okay. Well, somebody popped on with the name Neil Adams. Now, whether it's really Neil or not, I don't know. Whether it's a troll, I don't know. But he started picking apart every single one of us that made a comment. And he just attacked me for attacking his artistic integrity, for, you know, questioning his technique when I don't know what his technique is and all this stuff. And I'm just like,
that sounds like Neil Adams. That sounds like the Neil Adams I've met.
So he was all offended that I commented as a fan on the fact that I didn't like this work. And who am I to question his art? Well, I'm the consumer of this consumer-based art medium.
The thing is I've interviewed... I'm sorry I interrupted, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know I just did. But I just want to say, like, I've met Neil Adams a number of times. I've interviewed the man. And Neil Adams' biggest fan...
is Neil Adams.
Neil Adams. Okay, I mean, the man's arrogance is just off the map.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know what? He is... he's my favorite artist. I think he's the best. I just think he's the best. But holy geez, this man's ego.
I don't think he's the best anymore.
No?
I'd put Jim Lee up against Neil Adams any day of the week.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, no, no, no.
Absolutely.
No, no,
now,
no.
Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
Neil Adams, original Neil Adams, Batman and Green Lantern, Green Arrow. That's what got me into comics. That's what soured me on Kurt Swan. Like, that stuff is epic, just amazing art. But something that Jim Lee does right now, it kicks this, like, that Dead Man book, if Jim Lee drew it,
I don't know. You know, though, it just made me think, though, when I was looking at it, how much I kind of miss, all these books are trying to be so stylized and cartoonish, and I miss the DC, the classic art styles of guys like Neil Adam and what was his name?
Don't even say Kurt Swan.
No, not Kurt Swan. The guy who did the DC, this is the way the characters are supposed to look.
Jose Luis Garcia Lopez.
Oh, my God. Like, I wish books would look like that more now.
Jose Garcia Lopez.
I know. He sounds like a salsa singer.
He was amazing.
Is he still alive?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, he drew a Bible
that
was handed out to marketers on what the character should look like, and they just never made a new version of this.
Yeah.
They just kept handing out the same book. So you saw the same pictures of Aquaman on slushy cups, on you know, popsicle wrappers, in coloring books. It was all his art for almost 15 years.
Well, we were at CBA one time. We found water bottles with his art on it, and we went bananas.
Oh
yeah, like.
But it's nice and it's clean and it's you know, anatomical. But everybody wants to have a style now.
No, I'm sick of that, man.
Like, I'll take John Romita's Jr.'s old art over his new art any day of the week.
I was reading Birds of Prey recently, and it looked like all the characters' faces had been kicked in.
Whoa, who am I to question his artistic integrity? I'll tell you what I'll question. I'll question whether I'm going to spend $3.99 on your stupid book. That's what I'm going to question. Maybe some dentist will buy your original art for $10,000, but you're not getting my $3.99 yet.
You Neil Adams.
You Neil Adams.
So we're way past this now, but going back to give credit where credit's due, I've got written by Arnold Drake and Jack Miller.
Who's that?
The Dead Man series?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Arnold Drake?
No,
it says Arnold Drake, Neil Adams, and Jack Miller.
Okay, right. I believe you.
So, yeah. I don't know.
But man, that original run of Dead Man and Strange Tales by Neil Adams, and he did write the last batch of... fantastic. I have all of them in trade.
Well, I got them all in trade, and the first few were great, but then it kind of trickles off. I can't remember whether those were not his.
Those are probably the ones Neil Adams wrote. Right.
I mean, a great artist needs to focus on his art.
I agree, and that was the point I was trying to bring up.
I got the first three issues, I think, no, I sold them, of the Superman, Coming of the Superman.
Oh, gosh, that was horrible.
Right? Like, how many issues was it? I don't even know. I stopped.
As far as I know, it was supposed to be 12.
I didn't buy it.
Was it 12?
How many was Odyssey?
I just remembered how bad Odyssey was and didn't touch it.
Yeah.
It's funny, because I was going through some books, and I found number 1 and 3 of Odyssey, and I'm thinking, what did Sam and Martin say?
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. No, but here's the thing. But what tricked me into buying Dead Man, besides the fact that I just love the character, anytime Dead Man's in something, I buy it.
Yeah.
He's sort of like really, like, there's certain characters. Black Canary and Zatanna is a given, but if Deadman's in something, I'll usually buy it. If Vibe is in something, I'll usually buy it.
But Troll Neil Adams was like, oh, no, issue number one was in the top 10. Yeah, because you had variant covers and glow-in-the-dark covers and gimmicks. Let's see how issue 3 does.
Yeah.
Let's see how issue 4 does.
But you know, like, I mean, and it's almost tricked me. But also the fact that Neil Adams did write the original.
Yeah,
That was actually one of the really awful things about Deadman. And this is where I think
he didn't create him.
No,
he didn't create the origin. He didn't create the setting. He just finished it.
But the whole book of the first issue was actually almost the entire book was retelling the end of that series. Mm-hmm. Like he redid the final, like the end of the Strange Tales run, which was sort of lame, but. We'll see. Anyways, I don't think that. Out of 10 stars, I think I'm probably giving it a 3, and Marty's probably giving it a 0.
I'm never buying the rest of the issues.
All right. Well, I'll
no. I'll like even if it comes out in trade, it's just like Coming of the Superman and Batman Odyssey. Thank you very much. No, I got something else to spend my money on. I'm saving up for X-Men Red.
There you go.
Bendis. Okay. Bendis Legion. I do have a book here that you're going to order, Sam.
What's this?
It's a $10 U.S. book, 80-page one-shot.
Uh-huh.
Monster Romance.
I saw this. You posted something about
Young Monsters in Love.
What's this all about?
Prestige format, one-shot comic in February. Paul Dini, James Robinson, Jeff Lemire, Steve Orlando, Mark Russell, Kyle Higgins. Alyssa, I have no idea who you are. I apologize. Phil Hester, another fellow.
Phil Hester. Yeah, he did the Green Arrow, Kevin Smith's Green Arrow art run.
And Kelly Jones. He's the guy that did the prestige format Deadman series. The really, really
that
artistic.
Was real nice.
So they're going to do this, and it's like on the cover is Swamp Thing kissing the Bride of Frankenstein while the New 52 Frankenstein looks on in horror. Like, look at this. Tell me this isn't going to be awesome.
Yeah, that could be kind of fun.
Young Monsters in Love. Mm. It's hard being monster and even harder being a monster in love. Sparks will fly and hearts will be broken when the ghouls and ghosts of the DC Universe assemble to bring you a Valentine's Day special that no one saw coming.
Did they name any of the characters?
No, but like I said, they got Frankenstein of Shade and Swamp Thing here.
Yeah, that could be fun. I've always been bigger on the Marvel monsters personally. Yeah.
So I thought that would be a lot of fun. But $10 US.
Yeah, I'll do it. Whatever. We'll have to see.
But it's 80 pages.
Hopefully there will be no trade paperbacks or multi-story weekly series going on in February.
There you go.
When's the Action 1000 do it?
Ooh, I don't know.
I'll have to put that on my... Before or after Christmas?
I don't think I've seen
it's
it.
It's after Christmas.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's not yet. Not until after Christmas. So. All right.
The October sales numbers are in.
Yeah.
7 of the top 10 comic books are Batman comics.
Really?
But it's like... Remember how I always say when you look at this top 10 list, throw all the event books out, throw all the number ones out? Because it's like Dark Knight's Metal number 3... Batman 32, Batman 33, Batman the Drowned number 1,
what
Batman
is that?
The Dawnbreaker number 1, Batman the Merciless number 1.
Those are dark metal.
Oh, are they?
Those are those metal crossovers.
Yeah, I'm not touching any of them. They mean nothing to me.
Now, one thing that is on here is Batman White Knight. Nothing. Sam, you got to be reading Batman White Knight. You're not reading it right now, and you need
that.
To read it.
Okay.
Is that officially an Elseworld book or just kind of like an Elseworld?
I think it's, they don't use the term Elseworld anymore.
They really should.
What issue are they at?
2.
Okay. I wonder if I can still find any issues.
I know that number 1 and 2 were at Grey Guardian this Wednesday.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Speaking of which, we have 7 minutes left before we go.
All right. Let's
have
do it.
To. I was going to lead with this, but the Bendis thing was too much bigger. I have to officially state that Peterborough now has a viable comic shop.
There you go.
Grey Guardian Games. I've gone in there past couple of weeks. Wednesday after work, the books are there. The magic card players and stuff are upstairs on the second floor.
Yeah.
There's a tentative staff at the counter. I walk in. The young lad, Sam, is like, hey, Martin, how you doing? How's your day? Here's your book. And he pulls it out of my pull file. He's got it ready for me, just like they do at CBA. Hey, what are you doing? How are things? Hey, I read this. Did you read that?
You know what? I like that Sam guy.
Yeah, Sam's a good guy.
Yeah, I don't know. What's the owner's name again?
Anti-Sam.
No, Anti-Sam. So, I mean, it's definitely this young Sam guy that's making it interesting. But, gosh, I'm telling you.
Just like I said a couple of episodes ago when I went in there looking for some books, Sam gave me a really great experience to the point that I actually humbly admitted that I was wrong and apologized for all my snarky comments all year long. You know what I mean? When the customer service is that great that even I'll say I'm wrong, you know it's good.
Yeah. The owner is Sean. He's a good guy.
Yeah, Sean.
I believe you.
Sean's a nice guy, don't get me wrong, but his focus is magic. Yeah. He's a magic fan. He likes to run the tournaments and stuff like this, and that's his focus.
And that's my thing, is I don't trust a comic shop that doesn't have comics as their primary.
Well, they have Dixon's old comic rack, one section of it, painted white out against the wall, and that's where they put the new comics. Mm-hmm. All the new comics are in a banging board right away so they don't get damaged. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, you know, Sam's like, what else can I get you? Are you interested in this? He's the one that turned me into to Batman White Knight.
Really?
So I picked up issue one then, and I said, yeah, put it on my pull list. And, you know, sometimes when you put something on your pull list that's already been solicited, it's sketchy whether you're going to get it or not. Or, like at Worlds Collide, where you put something on your pull list and order it in time and it doesn't show up. That's another story. Issue 2, right there. He's got it for me.
That's great.
You know? So, Sam, am I pulling out a CBA? No, but I can see myself throwing more titles at Grey Guardian so that those weeks that I can't make it to Whitby, I have something to pick up.
Sam at Grey Guardian, please get some Mylar in for Martin.
Don't even joke.
He needs Mylar.
Big B Niagara Falls, Big B Barrie, Big B Hamilton, Gotham Central, Paradise, Pendragon.
He's been to
CBA,
them all.
None of them have Mylite pluses. Yeah. None of them. Like my cousin Rich is coming up. He should be at the house in a few seconds, actually.
Cool.
And he brought me two 100 Mylite 2s for $19 for a 50-pack, where they're $40 at CBA. Well, folks, I think that's about it. That's it. All we've got for today.
You know what, though? We did it great. We filled in a lot of stuff, man.
We got to get out of this studio for the next guy. So have a good week, and we'll see you next week.
All right.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?